Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the latest video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League game week 8 and try and pinpoint those under the radar gems to help you climb up the rankings. We'll do this via the goals and assists imminent tables, which use the Fantasy Football Scout members area stats to try and predict future returns. We'll see how we got on last week and we'll reveal the latest stats ahead of game week 8. We'll also reveal our early transfer thoughts ahead of game week 8, and big news, I'm wildcarding, so I'll share my current thinking around that. I've got three drafts to show you because my actual one is sort of chasing prices at the moment, but as I'll reveal, I've got a big decision on a big player to make today as I do chase those price rises and avoid those falls as well. In addition, we'll take some questions we have at the end of the stream, so have a think about those and post your questions in the live chat at the end. My name is Joe, and joining me to unearth some under the radar gems is Tom Freeman, Fantasy Football Scout's deputy editor. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Joe. Yeah, Saturday lunchtime was pretty enjoyable. Didn't see that result coming with Villa Brighton, but very happy with that. And I've got a new mic too, which we've been promising for a while. So yes. if you can't understand me now, it's almost certainly the accent. So yeah, it should be clearer for everybody, though. Fingers crossed.
Your fully condenser mic up indeed here, and yeah. So all well. And welcome those joining us in the live chat early. Andy Martin, who I saw on Saturday, we watched at a sports bar. I on one screen watched my side lose to Villa, and he watched his side lose to Southampton. So but we made merry, and afterwards though, so all was well, and it was good. Richard Ivory, thanks for joining us. Frode, Rodrev J, Alan Zared, FPL Alexander Arnold, Sukan, G Wiz, Gazman, and many more. Thanks so much for joining us early in the live chat. Okay, let's move on. Let's have a little recap, see how we did in the game. Speaking of Villa against Brighton, in the recap of our goals imminent table. So, Tom, this is the goals imminent derby, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, indeed. Yeah, I'm surprised you can fit all of that on the table,
well,
to be honest.
Well, I just squeezed them in. I've enlarged the column there for Watkins. So, yeah, three goals, two assists. One of the all-time great FPL returns there. Anything over 20 points is great, especially if you're a striker. You've done really well. This is sort of Aguero levels of returns there. Well, let's start. We're going to ignore Fernandes at Chelsea. He's just perennially going to be on here. He's never going to return. But Watkins did last week. You said there was more to come. Boy, was there more to come. He is a key name I want on my wild cards. Is that justified, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, what, best ever FPL haul, wasn't it? 23 points at the weekend. I think we'd said in his first five matches he hadn't scored. He'd had 14 shots, and I'm just having a look now, 2.3 XG. Yeah. Didn't score from that. He's taken eight shots since and scored four goals. We always said on here, my take was that I hadn't seen much wrong with his performance. He just needed a little bit more luck in certain situations. And it all arrived on Saturday. Villa have won 10 in a row at home now in the league. So we're making Villa Park a fortress. We're top of the ticker over the next seven game weeks. So you can, you know, he's an easy move for a lot of people at the moment, isn't he? I suppose the decision is, do you go 3-5-2? Do you go 3-4-3 and incorporate him with Haaland and another striker as well? But yeah, good fixtures. I mean, they will. Wolves, West Ham and Luton next, it is going to require a different tactical plan. This Brighton, we seem to adopt the West Ham blueprint against your team, Joe, you know, where it's very smash direct, quick transitions. Yeah. I think Brighton racked up more XG in that game, but Villa were very clinical, knew how to play it. Now, Wolves and West Ham, very different opponents. They're going to sit back. It's not going to be like that at all. We've struggled against them a bit in the past. But Watkins' record under Emery has been superb. I think he's got 17 goals and 31 starts under Emery, which suggests that he can do it. It's not just the big teams he's going to do it against. He can do it against everybody. Yeah. 8 million now, I think. So he's not a super explosive striker. I know what he did on Saturday was amazing. I think that's only his third double-digit haul under Emery, but he's going to tick along, I think, very nicely. So great option.
Yeah, I mean, he's been on the assists imminent table for a while and obviously off there now because he's arrived. His assists have been and gone. They're still going to come as well. So I was looking at some stats, and his chance creation is still really high for a striker, and he's scoring as well. You know, a lot of the play. I mean, Diaby obviously impressed for Villa, but Watkins was the key man. He was there. So if he's not going to score, he's going to be assisting. And I don't want to watch any more Villa games without Watkins.
Yeah, I get that. That him and Diaby are so central to what we do.
Yeah,
they're going to be the talisman when we start scoring goals more. And we're doing well this year. You know, we've generally been pretty good going forward. So I can see that. And maybe Watkins is slightly easier to accommodate than Diaby, given the amount of midfielders available.
Definitely. So, and also, Diaby is flagged at the moment. He did take a knock, but I think there was something originally lost in translation in the reports of Emery, because Emery was saying that he didn't feel that that knock would be relevant. And that was somehow initially transposes that Diaby could be out for weeks. But he in fact said the knock shouldn't be relevant for a few weeks.
Exactly. Yeah, we put that quote out and we had a bit of comeback on it saying, what does that mean? And it means that it shouldn't be an issue. And we play in Europe on Thursday night. Now, that's taken on extra significance, that match, because we lost our first game in the Europa. There's a good chance both players start or at least get minutes in that. And so we'll obviously get an update on Diaby, but I don't think it's anything to be worried about if you do own him.
The eagle-eared listeners will not only have noticed that Tom's got a fabulous new mic, but also they might have heard my dog barking, but the dog has now gone out. Off you go, Alfie. Rashford is next here. He blanked. He is plummeting in value. This happens with Manchester United. If they do well, their players, because of their global following, they just go up in price, go up in ownership. They do badly and they plummet. And that's what's happening with Rashford now. He's got Brentford at home, but he's just an easy sell, isn't he? It's just body language, everything about him, the quality of the shots. There's just so many better midfielders than him. He's a sell, isn't he now?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're on a wild card like you, Joe, it's a bit of a no-brainer. I think for managers like myself who aren't on a wild card, you've got those two good fixtures to come against struggling sides. But Man United are struggling as well. His decision-making just doesn't seem right to me, Rashford, at the moment. He feels quite erratic when I'm watching him. And he's racking up shots. He's taken up more shots than any other midfielder this year, including Salah. But they're not always from the best positions. And I think that's linked back to that decision-making. You know, United didn't score enough goals last year, and they're certainly not scoring enough this year. I'm probably going to keep him because I've got other areas of the team I want to work on.
Yeah.
But certainly, if you're on a wild card this week, then, easy sell.
I think if I can look back on this season, think of mistakes, because it's easy to say, I made a mistake, you know, using hindsight. But looking back, the evidence was there around Manchester United. They scored, 57 goals or something? It was very low.
For their standing.
And what did I do? Well, all season, this season, I've doubled up on Rashford and Fernandes. Occasionally, I've had smatterings of return from Rashford. Fernandes, the odd haul, I think one haul. But the warning signs were there. I really shouldn't have doubled up. The evidence was there.
Because I did the same, Joe. Now, I don't think that there was necessarily a mistake in game week one, because they've had Wolves, they had Forest in the first 3 weeks. I think my problem, and probably yours too, Joe, was that we didn't react quick enough to what was happening. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should have sold them a bit sooner. I mean, I'm still sat here in game week eight going in with two midfielders. Yeah. And so maybe that, well, it has been an error on my part, but it does look like I'm going to have to keep faith one more week because, other things to do.
Yeah, I mean, I always think when you're getting rid of a player, one of the sort of litmus tests of that is if they haul, will you be annoyed? So if Rashford and Fernandes both haul against Brentford, I won't be annoyed. And people go, oh, I'm sure you will. But I won't be because they're not players I want. They're not my players anymore. I've mentally, they've gone.
Yeah, so that's the equivalent bit like of a player bit I don't like Jackson. Yeah. Yeah, a bit like Jackson a few weeks ago. We were selling him before the home match against Villa when we were in Europe a couple of days before. But when you know, FBL is meant to be fun. And when you're getting frustrated with your assets, sometimes it's just quite nice to just get rid of them and not worry about it. And Rashford and Fernandes are going to still going to score goals, aren't they? But that doesn't necessarily mean that the players that you're bringing in, Joe, aren't going to do better than that.
No, they're eating up so much budget. They're basically Salah and an okay midfielder. So that's the sort, they're Son and Saka. This is the positions they've eating up in teams, and ultimately my decision to wildcard, which was made hastily, admittedly, in a sports bar in Exeter at about 5:30. But when I did do that, I looked at my team, and what was stopping me wildcarding was Manchester United. I was thinking, no, Manchester United have got two more good fixtures. I'll stick with them. Game week 10. This is when I'll do it. And then I just thought, is that the only reason now? So I'm missing out on Son, Salah, Watkins, all of these other players. And, you know, the chance to sort of tidy things up in my team as well, you know, some of the fringe players. And then I just thought, nah, I'll just press the button.
Why not? Yeah, it's all team dependent, isn't it?
All
maybe,
team dependent.
Maybe some people will look at my team later and think, well, I should be wildcarding now. But,
and if I hadn't invested in Manchester United so heavily, maybe if I just had Fernandes or even just an Arna, I might not have wildcarded then. I might have thought, well, no. But then, because I would have had the sort of players I want to bring in on the wildcard. So, okay, let's move it down. Eze, now, he got an assist, which is great. But I understand, I think I just saw on Twitter that he may be injured. But I don't know whether that's sort of tittle-tattle at this stage.
Yeah, I saw the same report, which came through just before we came on air. Mm. And I think I saw something about 6 weeks and that he was out of the internationals for England. Now, I don't think that's been verified by any Crystal Palace source, but obviously something to keep an eye on because he was somebody which would have been a really nice option for this week and for Palace's run from, I think it's game week 11. They've got a great run then. But that's a real worry for Palace, especially with Olise out too.
Yeah, and they play Nottingham Forest next. Billing is next. We still await him. He's gone here, but I still await the chance to be smug about Billing getting a return. Lamina at Wolves as well. But once again, we're going to mention Wolves here. Kuna got another return there. Neto is, I mean, how was it? 5 assists and a goal for Neto. He's not on this table because he's goals and assists have arrived and gone. Lamina is another option there. Basically, the Wolves attack is surprising us. And you mentioned about them playing Villa. I can't remember whether we spoke about it on air or off air before, but Wolves have a really good record against Villa. They play up and play well. And I think, for example, Watkins has got one penalty and that's his only return since 2020. I didn't look beyond that because that's a different era. But so for the last 3 years or so, I couldn't see Watkins getting anything more than a single return out of all of those matches.
They're a team we tend to struggle against. It's a bit of a derby round here as well, which has an impact.
Yeah.
I don't think we've actually won since 2020. I'm just having a look now against Wolves. Okay. So you've got to go back 3 years for that.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, it's a very different challenge to the Brighton game plan. And we're in Europe as well on Thursday when Wolves have got the week off. And I do think that could have an impact. Mm. So, if you're going for Watkins this week, which loads of people will, he's a great option. Mm. But I wouldn't get too concerned if he has a tougher time at the weekend.
I'll reveal it towards the end when I've got Watkins or not. But if I did, I'm actually not expecting anything from him this week.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people will look at that going, wow, look at those points. He'll do the same next week. I actually think that this is the trickiest game that he's got. But when you look at the fixture sticker, which we'll pull up at a bit later, you know, Villa right at the top there. So there's plenty more good games to come for Watkins. Finally, just to wrap up, Gibbs White, Nottingham Forest, blank. He was a sub, wasn't he, in this game?
Yeah, he was benched, which took us all by surprise. Yeah. Cooper said he wasn't dropped. It was tactical. It was giving him a bit of a breather. Mm-hmm. But they've got options now, haven't they? They've got Alanga. They've got Hudson-Odoi. Mm-hmm. Dominguez came in and scored. Yeah. They went with more of a 4-3-3 on Sunday. So that's a little bit worrying because he is a player which he does get spoken about a bit. You know, he's got penalties, set pieces, and feeding Awoniyi. You know, there's quite a bit to like when the fixtures are good. But that's a bit of a worry there.
And the final name on here, we got Ayew at Crystal Palace as well. Not many people are going to go for him, but nevertheless, and Crystal Palace is a sort of reverting back to the normal Crystal Palace where they can beat anyone on their day, but you're looking at 1-0s, maybe one all they might get. And the dream of Roy Hodgson being like some guru, attacking guru, has sort of faded a little bit. But nevertheless, went to Manchester United. I think he's the manager that's won most at Manchester United, something like that.
Yeah, I read something about that as well. I'm sure a little stat. But yeah, you do worry a bit about Palace, though, without Eze, without Olise. Who's creating that?
Okay, well, let's move on to see how we did it on the assists imminent table. Mentioned some of these names as well. So Fernandes' turn to shine here, as Rashford did on the goals imminent table. Not delivered. Is he a sell, though, with Brentford coming up? I think if you've got him and you're not wildcarding or anything like that, I'd be tempted to hold him if I wasn't wildcarding. I think he would be the one, but yeah.
It depends what other priorities you've got in your team. If you've got the luxury of making a move to somebody, if you can go from Fernandes to Son, for instance, this week, so he's a really good captain option at Luton, and then you might be able to say, well, I could look at that. But generally, I don't think there's anything wrong. You know, Fernandes is the one who's looked better than Rashford. You know, it was only last week he scored the winner against Burnley, wasn't it? And he's got these two, you know, Brentford are really struggling. I've watched them against Forest. I watched them against Everton the week before that. So this is good for United in the sense that, they're playing rubbish, but so are Brentford. So they might be able to get something out of it. But I'm going to hold them.
For those playing, let's blame our decisions on content creators, bingo. G.O.D. in the live chat has poked up. He should have listened to his gut based on United pre-season, but he got hyped up into it by other FPL creators and the RC Lens game. You've got to own those decisions. I just did it as well. I'm a content creator and I big them up and I should have not have done that. I shouldn't have listened to myself. But it's myself I have to blame, no one else. And that's the point. Okay, let's move down the list then. We've got Eze with assists. We've already mentioned him, could be injured. Enzo Fernandez, he is the Nathan Redmond. He will be here forever. He will not score or assist. He may do if he might, as far as we know, he's still on penalties. But Pascal Gross is next. I don't think he's going to be back, could be though. He's definitely needed in midfield. He was great last time I saw Brighton play Liverpool. Who they've got next, I'm expecting, it's a weird thing with Liverpool and Brighton playing each other, both coming off disappointing defeats for varying different reasons, and they both got Europe this week, so they're going to want to react well in the league. They're not going to want to lose this game, and they both could win it, so, and they both will fancy their chances, so it could be quite an open game, that Liverpool Brighton game. Next up we've got GOD's appeared up. He admits it's true. Good. Sorry about that. Kulusevski and Son are next. Now Son did reward us with a goal, not an assist. Kulusevski looked good, I thought. That Tottenham Liverpool game was a hard one to judge, because we got another name on there, Diaz. I didn't even know what to put for him because he did score, so I've just put a question mark and exclamation mark. So it's hard to know how to judge that. But I thought Diaz looked good. I thought Kulusevski looked good. I thought Son looked good. Szoboszlai, yeah, who's also on this list, looked good. And of course, Maddison looked good. They're both good teams to invest in, I think. Just Liverpool and Tottenham.
Absolutely. Yeah, Liverpool's fixtures are turning. I think if you want to go now, I think that's fine. I think that Brighton this year, I've struggled a bit in the middle with their central midfielders pairings. And I think there could be goals, like you say, Joe, in that match at the weekend. I think if you had to rank them, you put Son and Maddison a bit ahead of Kulusevski. And you put, obviously, Salah and Darwin and Diaz a bit ahead of Szoboszlai, probably. Yeah. But you know, they're all good. The good thing with Szoboszlai is that his minutes are secure. He plays 90 minutes every week, and you can't say that for some of the other Liverpool assets.
No, definitely. So I think the situation with the attack is that Gakpo could be injured, but for a week or two. Jota's obviously suspended for the next match. Yeah. So you would think that Darwin Núñez, who was carrying a knee injury into this match, will start against Brighton, and Diaz will continue, and so will Salah. So that would be the thinking there. So that's all evens out. But long term, it's still Salah or bust for me, really.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I think the three that you mentioned then, Diaz, Darwin and Salah, I think that's their best front three this season. I think that is. But, yeah, get to after the international break, and then suddenly Darwin and Diaz, if they're travelling like they were last time, and they were rested in the game after Gakpo's back, Jota's back, it becomes very difficult. I do like Darwin, but if you're going to invest in him, you're going to have to put up with these benchings occasionally.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, I mean, the conclusion that, I mean, from watching that game and just watching them all season, attack-wise, Tottenham and Liverpool are great. I like the Tottenham fullbacks as well. Porro and Destiny Adeyemi were great. Lots to like about them. Chelsea, so Sterling appeared on here. Yeah, I mean, he didn't get much of a chance. So he was ill, missed training, so he wasn't in the starting squad. Did come on. I was quite pleased about his 0 points coming on for me, because it blocked a Stupinan's -2. So he earned me 2 points for just showing up and getting booked. but Sterling, like Manchester United, these are teams that we're sort of getting rid of now. They're in flux. They're not performing what we'd like. But Chelsea looked a little bit different last night, as in good.
Better. Yeah,
so there could be some assets there to go for when their fixtures improve.
Yeah, they pushed Enzo Fernandez a bit deeper, and Gallagher, I thought, looked really good in a bit more of an advanced role. The issue for Sterling is that Palmer played really well. So does Sterling come back in for Burnley away, which is a nice fixture? It's not guaranteed, is it? They've just come off the back of a 2-0 win. The same goes for Jackson. Does he get back in? I know Brozier's carrying a bit of a knock from that, but if he is fit, does he come back in? So Sterling, suddenly from being what I thought would be quite a nice little pick for that Burnley fixture, he's a bit of a concern now, and I might be transferring him out this week. But
another, and even though I wildcarded before that decision with Sterling, another reason to wildcard. If you're too exposed to Manchester United and Chelsea, who on the whole have been poorly performing, or rather your assets at Chelsea will be poorly performing, because Brozier will not be highly owned, but he could be the best striking option they've got. It's sort of moving towards Tottenham and Liverpool, as far as I can see, fixture-wise and form-wise.
Absolutely.
Joshua Tan has disappeared in a live chat, asking me how my wild card is coming along. Hold that thought, because we're going to look at the goals imminent and assists imminent table, see who's due a return, and then we'll go into our team reveals for myself and Tom. So for me, that will involve having a look at my wild card thinking, how it's coming so far. Let's have a look at these goals, the latest goals imminent table. So this is for game week 8, last 4 matches, and I've sorted this by expected goal delta, which is what they should have got over and above what they have got. So if they've already scored a goal, they should have scored, and their delta's minus two, then they should have scored three goals, and so on. If you score more than two goals, more than a goal, you're off this table in a good way. If you don't get these stats, the required XG stats, the shots and close range efforts, those types of things, then you fall off in a bad way. But sometimes you just stay here forever. Fernandes is still here from Chelsea. I'm just going to sketch over him. Jackson, I think we can sketch over as well. Just for, you know, I'll just show you, he has had eight big chances. He's missed seven of them. He has scored seven shots on target, 19 shots, and he should have scored, getting on for nearly three more goals than his single goal. But we've just spoken about Broja is a significant threat to his start. So we're going to sketch over those two. Rashford, we've spoken about, three big chances, all missed. 28 shots, 22 in the box. I mean, that's just one goal from his last four matches. That's really bad. Almost said a swear word. That's just really bad. To have that level of volume, that says to me that the quality of the shots and their close range is just poor. So Billing is still here.
I think I read a stat earlier that 15 of those 28 shots have been blocked.
Yeah.
So he's taking these shots and they're not great quality, not from the best positions. Maybe when there's a better option to pass to Hoyland, he's taking a shot instead.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a concern when you look at it like that.
That's a really good point. And you'll forget that with some strikers as well. So, for example, Harvey Barnes is another good example. When you're looking at his stats, loads and loads of shots, loads on target, loads inside the box. And you think, what's going on here? And then you watch the game and a lot of his shots shoot tamely at the goalkeeper. They're just easy to save. But nevertheless, out of every four of those, one might go in.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a shoot. Well, they've both got a bit of a shoot on sight policy, haven't they? So when there's better options around, I think.
Yeah. Billing is next. We've mentioned him. Hopefully he will get us a return. 14 shots, nine inside the box, playing Everton next. This could be the moment we get Billing return. Eze, we've spoken about. He has had 27 shots, 12 inside the box, eight of those shots on target. But a little like Rashford's, he's shooting a lot, but they're just not of a quality. But with Eze, you can see they're from long range. That's why they're not going in. They're just easier to save, or they're just missing. Beto is next for Everton. He's had two chances, missed them all. He's had 12 shots, 10 inside the box. Should have got at least a goal. Just one shot on target there. Calvert-Lewin scored at the weekend, though. So that's like, I mean, Calvert-Lewin, you would imagine, would be top choice over Beto.
Yeah, I think Beto came in and he was first choice because Calvert-Lewin wasn't up to speed. But then Calvert-Lewin, he scored in back-to-back game weeks, hasn't he? And I think he scored in the Carabao as well against us. So, yeah, Calvert-Lewin is firmly ahead there, I think. So, and Calvert-Lewin, you know, he's not a bad pump for this week. They play Bournemouth at home. As that central Everton striker, you can see from that they will get chances, and Everton have been creating chances. They just haven't been converting them this year. Their XG isn't bad overall for the team level. So whoever is that central striker, if the fixtures fall kindly, they're not a bad option.
Yeah, we could be witnessing a turnaround in form for Everton. I'm still not fully there yet, but we could be.
Yeah, I mean this was why the Luton result. It was. I mean, I had watched Everton against Villa and against Brentford, and I thought exactly like you, Joe. They've turned a corner here. The performances were much more positive. Calvert-Lewin's back. I like the Decore in that support striker role. McNeil's back, and so I thought, they've turned a corner, and then they lose at home to Luton. Yeah. So, what do you make of it? I mean, there's just no consistency there at all.
And the rest of the names on the goals imminent table are very similar to last week. So these are players that are still putting it up the good stats. They're still justifying their place on the table. They're not quite getting the return yet. That's Lamina and Kuna at Wolves, Gibbs White at Nottingham Forest, who was dropped for tactical reasons, and Ayew at Crystal Palace as well. So we've mentioned all of those. So we can move on to the assists imminent table. But yeah, there could be returns from them. Especially those matches with Wolves against Villa, Crystal Palace and Nottingham Forest against each other there. Let's move on to the assists imminent table. Okay, so good news for Bernardo Fernandes fans. He's still there. 21 chances created, 30 corners. This is the last four matches. He's scored a couple of times as well. So two goals and an assist. These are quite good, actually. So he's on this table because he's only scored one assist. So if you score more than two, more than one, you're off. Next against Brentford. As I said, yeah, I think I would keep him. I wouldn't be looking to move Fernandes.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, penalties as well.
Yeah.
Share of set pieces. I think that could be the player. If you just want to keep one of them, it probably does point towards Fernandes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to be keeping him. I mean, he is at least trying. He's the one on the pitch who's trying to make things happen. He's trying to create. He's just not finishing them.
Yeah, these are really good stats. But, yeah, it's the finishing part of it. So it's his teammates that are letting him down. Eze, we've mentioned before, he's great assist potential, but he could be injured. So more on that. Look on Fantasy Football Scouts tweets for that. 18 chances created, 24 corners, 15 successful crosses. Great stuff. Enzo Fernandez, I'm just going to skip over him because he's just the wrong player in the wrong place. He's not the creative assister. He's not the goal-scoring assister. He's just not the person we want. Kulusevski is next. He's still here. Great against Liverpool. 20 chances created, seven corners, two goals, three successful crosses, but no assists. He plays Luton next. We spoke about a couple of weeks ago. If I got to this stage and perhaps I didn't wildcard, and I needed funds and couldn't quite get to Son and didn't want to take a hit, Kulusevski would be the one I would go for. I think it's a 1 week punt. If you're going to wildcard in game week 9, for example, for 7 million, my opinion of him has not changed. He's still great. I mean, could you be tempted? Because you could get to him for Sterling.
Yeah, I could do. I mean, I think I would always pick Maddison over him because I've got that flexibility to be able to go for that bit more. Money. I've got a bit more money available. But Kulusevski, if he's all you can reach in a one game week sample, anything can happen. Spurs are super attacking, so Kulusevski probably will get chances. But there's a lot of good options there at the moment, isn't there? And Son's the main man that you want, but then I think probably Maddison after that. But why not if he's all that you can get?
And Bomo's here, Sisperset. So he's obviously playing out the wing. Usually when they play the big teams, Brentford go two up top, so he could be more up top. But 19 corners, 10 chances created, 4 goals, but no assists, 16 successful crosses. His assist is imminent. And he's playing Manchester United, which could be a good fixture. He will be playing perhaps more up top, you would think, if they go two up top. But a lot of people are getting rid of him now. They've sort of seen enough. I mean, is he? I can't remember if he's in your team or not, but is he a hold for you, or is he a reluctant hold?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the Forest game and I was thinking about selling him at the weekend for Maddison. Now, I think the fact that Sterling didn't play and Chelsea did very well is probably going to force me to sell in him before Mbeumo. He was very wide at the weekend. You mentioned about the tactics then, Joe. He was, when they play a 4-3-3, he was kind of hugging the touchline and on the right flank, which isn't really where you want to see him. They probably should have had a pen, to be fair to Brentford, when Turner took out Wissa. But Brentford aren't playing well at the moment. They're in a bit of a slump. Can't get over the line. I think they've only won once all season. But for me, I'll probably have to keep him this week. And they do play Burnley at home the week after. Yeah. So, the next two fixtures are okay. Yeah. After that point, though, I think he's a definite sell.
Yeah. So. Son is next. Good to see him. Once again, we still got a bit of residual stats from his time out on the wing. But it doesn't matter if he's out on the wing. The way he's playing with Richarlison, he's playing centrally. Richarlison out. And Kulusevski out wide, supplying him. There are other options on the wings at Spurs, but Son looks like the main man through the centre. That looks his best role. Taken off early this time, which has been a familiar sight, but this was specifically to protect an injury. With 11 chances created, 6 goals, last four matches. Is that right? goals. I thought I got that wrong. 6 goals in the last four matches. No assists and 1 successful cross. So he is just he's going to go down this. If he doesn't get any assists, he's just going to fade off this table because he's just going to be the goal man. He's probably the best captain this week, isn't he? Even over Haaland.
I think so, yeah. City are going to Arsenal, aren't they? Mm. It's going to be a tough match, I think. The fact that Rodri isn't available for them, I think, is if you own players like Saka and stuff this week, I think you would start them. Mm. And, I think it's quite rare you can go against Haaland and feel reasonably confident about it. But I think this week is probably one of those weeks. Yeah. It's a shame it's the first match on Saturday. It's the early kickoff, which I never, from a mental kind of point of view, I don't really like that. But you got to look at the fixture. It's good, and Spurs just look so good going forward at the moment that you would expect them to score two or three. Yeah. And if they do that, good chance of Son returns.
Definitely. Pascal Gross is next on the list. We've spoken about him. He's injured at the moment, but could be back and Brighton will need him. Doku at Manchester City, though. So there could be some, I saw that Bernardo Silva has returned to training today. So I don't know whether that would put Doku at risk there. But 6.5 million, he's had created eight chances, has scored, had a couple of successful crosses, but plays Arsenal next. Still potentially a good option, though.
Maybe. I don't know if he would play against Arsenal because Grealish is back. He got minutes at the weekend at Molineux. So I'd be surprised if he's thrown in again at the Emirates. Again, these kind of players at City, you need injuries or to kind of make them nailed. A bit like Alvarez with De Bruyne, you know, he's benefited from that. With Grealish coming back, I don't know if Doku's got that. It's looked okay so far, but I wouldn't be considering him, I don't think.
Okay. Abdullah in the live chat is asking about our ranks. For those who are familiar with this show here, this is not that kind of show. We don't look at those ranks. We very rarely talk about how we've done in the previous week as well, because we're always looking forward. But if you are interested in ranks, me and Tom have 16 top 10K finishes between us, and that's the main rank you need to know. Sterling's next. We've spoken about him. You would imagine he would start, but yeah, he might not, because Chelsea look better, not necessarily without him. They just look better in the last match. Sterling's in your team, he's in many, many other teams. He's probably a sell now with fixtures and form and now a threat to his minutes.
Unless Pochettino comes out in his presser and says that he'll start, I think it's that uncertainty he'll force me into selling him, I think.
Yeah, and Szoboszlai we've mentioned as well, nailed on, and he's created 13 chances, taken 15 corners, so got long set pieces there, eight successful crosses, got Brighton next, and has earned an assist and a goal over the last four matches. Was absolutely brilliant. There, Abdullah's still trying to get our ranks. We're not going to give you ranks. I don't know what they are, but I've got a Luton player and a Burnley player left to go. So hopefully higher than it is now. Think of on to next week, Abdullah, and look at your own team and your own rank. That's what we want. We want look at your own ranks.
I would say as well, it's game week 7. I mean, this everything's pretty congested at this stage of the season.
Yeah.
I think after game week 3, I was ranked at about 190k, and I'm around about 2 million now. Yeah. But there's you're a Watkins Hall away from suddenly being a lot. It's very close at the moment, so I wouldn't even be thinking about ranks just yet.
No.
Give it a little bit longer, because certainly, you know, there's a lot of people out there talking who have got ranks at 2-3 million, and I still listen to them. They know what they're talking about. I'm not going to give, just because somebody's at 200k or whatever now, I'm not going to give them more weight.
No, exactly.
Just at the moment over that, because there's 7 game
and that's the inference in what's, because as soon as you say our rank, people go, oh, well, I'm doing higher than you. Why should I listen to you? Well, because we've done well in the past. We may not do well this season, but we've done well in the past.
We don't know yet, do we? It's early days.
No, we could win it. One of us could. And
you never know.
I'm going up a million and down a million every week.
That's what I mean. It's fluctuating all over the place, isn't it? And maybe once you start getting to game week 10 or 12 and... Yeah. it's not really a level playing field at the moment as well. A lot of people have played their wild cards already in the opening week. Some other people haven't, like myself. So it's, I wouldn't be too fixated on that just now.
Definitely. Very, very, very congested. Let's have a look. I'm just going to put these next six fixtures up because it's pertinent to when I talk about my wild card, but also for you as well, because... Tom, you were looking at game week 9 or 10 to wild card. Was this right?
It wasn't set in stone. I looked at game week 10 and I kind of like the fixture swings which are happening around that game week. So that looked good for me. I'm not going... If I have a bad week, it wouldn't surprise me if I pressed the button during the international break, but let's see how it goes.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, I've just noted down here, we're looking at these fixtures. I'll go them into a bit detail in a sec for those listening on the podcast version. But essentially... Tottenham and Aston Villa are top over the next six. So they are absolutely key now, if you're wildcarding now or you're looking at transfers now. These are the teams you should be looking at. Meanwhile, in game week 10, it suddenly turns for Brighton, West Ham and Arsenal. So suddenly players like Saka, Bowen, Matoma, Stupinan, these types of players are suddenly a bit more interesting in game week 10 than they are in game week 8. But yeah, looking at across the six there, Tottenham and Aston Villa are the best fixtures. Tottenham have Luton, Fulham, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, Wolves and Aston Villa. Aston Villa have Wolves, West Ham, Luton, Nottingham Forest, Fulham and Tottenham. These are great fixtures. Crystal Palace start off with Nottingham Forest. So they're still handy for some of those fringe players in a team. They do have Newcastle and Tottenham. But they're in 9 and 10. But then game week 11, Burnley, Everton, Luton. Lovely run from game week 11 to 13. Wolves are next as well. So we've spoken about Wolves. Finally, their good fixture runs appearing. Aston Villa, Bournemouth, Newcastle. That's a tough one. But then they got Sheffield United, Tottenham and Fulham. So it's all one in, one off. But they're quite. It's a good fixture run in general. Newcastle, still good. West Ham, that's probably their toughest one. Well, second toughest. And then they've got Crystal Palace and Wolves, good fixtures. Game week 11 turns with a bit with Arsenal. But then they've got Bournemouth and Chelsea, good fixtures. And Manchester United is still ticking along. 8 and 9, Brentford and Sheffield United. But then it's game week 10. That's when you want to, for you, Tom, and others who are thinking of game week 10, there's that turn there. Manchester City... they play there in game week 10. So at least you know they probably won't get you many returns that week, hopefully. And then they've got Fulham and Luton and Everton. So it's form v fixtures. They've got the fixtures afterwards, but have they got the form? West Ham, Newcastle and Aston Villa next. And not the greatest fixtures. Then it turns for the better. Everton at home, Brentford, Nottingham Forest at home, Burnley away. Lovely run over those from game weeks 10 to 14. And Fulham as well, not to be sniffed at. Sheffield United, they've got in game week 8. And then Wolves, game week 13. And some tough fixtures in the middle there. And then the ones with the worst fixtures, actually City and Burnley. Although, worth pointing out, with Manchester City, they do have Bournemouth in game week 11 at home. And that's the key one, really. So if this is the sort of period where if you were to go against Haaland captaincy... this is the period to do that because there are better options in a lot of those weeks, particularly say maybe the Liverpool and the Manchester United games and Chelsea at the foot there. So they're good runs come to an end really with Burnley. That's it. And then they got Arsenal, Brentford. That's okay. But then they got Tottenham, Man City and Newcastle. Tough as old boots that run. So we probably don't want to be looking at our Chelsea players.
Right.
So, shall I put my wild card up?
Yeah.
Based on this. So, this is, I've actually used Plan FPL because basically my main team is I'm sort of chasing price points. But I'm going to have to make a decision tonight because I'm running out of players. I've made money on most of them. So, I'm running out. I'm going to have to get rid of one. So, this is sort of what I'm looking at the moment. I'm retaining a 3-5-2, and I'll read out the names on that for those listening on the podcast in a moment. My main decisions are Trippier v. Watkins, or simply to go with, or have both. But Trippier is possibly the premium player that I'm going to go without because I think I can cover the clean sheets at least with the Newcastle defender. Luckily, they're playing West Ham next, which is a tougher game for them. But Watkins, I think, is a non-negotiable for me. Same with loading up on Spurs. Same with getting Salah in, and getting Villa as well in defence with cash. So I'll read it out. I've got Areola, who I think is great at 4.2. Play him most weeks. And indeed, I probably won't play him next week. I might play Turner, who got on the bench to go with him. I've then got cash and Anderson and Udogi in defence there. Anderson for Crystal Palace plays Nottingham Forest. Also in my defence on my bench this week, I've got Dan Burn for West Ham. Obviously, if Botman was around, he would be in that role. But if you've got a bit more money, share would be good. But I do think Botman and Trippier are the ones there. Across my midfield, I've got Madison and Son and Salah, Bowen and Neto. And then up front, I've got Watkins and Haaland in that 3-5-2 with Archer on the bench as my sub striker. And I've got Bayer there at number four. He's just there because he was already there, but he could become Kabore. Or at some point, when I'm a bit bored on Thursday, I'll do some comparison check on the best 4 million. And the result will be they're all rubbish, but I'll get one. Doesn't matter which one it is for this day. So that's the sort of structure I'm going with. So when I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, who do I want in a few weeks? So we've already mentioned Brighton, Arsenal and West Ham. So I feel with Bowen, I can go in now. And it'd be the same with Ward-Prowse. I think they're sort of fixture proof because they're so good. They can score against anyone. I can get those returns there. Areola as well is such a great price. I don't mind going for him a little early as well. Saka is a player I'd probably want in game week 10. So one of those Spurs guys is going to have to go, probably Son. So Son to Saka then. So Son is there and then move on to Saka. And then I'll be looking at trying to get a bit of Brighton. So Matoma's a player I want there. Maybe a Spurs player could go for him. Maybe I'll find some money somewhere to upgrade Neto to Matoma. But that's a decision in a few weeks. And also, even though I'm a Brighton fan, FPL-wise, Brighton you can live without because of the X minutes, and any of them can haul. Yeah. Ferguson could get a hat-trick. Matoma can get a brace in 45 minutes off the bench. You can't predict that. You can't predict when they're going to play, how they're going to do. They could do that against top teams. They can lose against bottom teams. And what you want is players who are going to win against bottom teams, so you know when you can predict their points and you know when you can perhaps bench them against the tougher teams. So Brighton are a team which I'll come to. I've got enough in defence here that any of them could become a Stupinan. The likes of Anderson, Cash, for example, a doggy. I just need like way less than half a million more. So I feel I can get it. But what it is lacking is Trippier. And, you know, he's definitely a player I want. But, I mean, we've spoken about a lot of these players, Tom, but I think the two ones that might be different to a lot of them is Bowen, because I feel like I'm sort of... He's a player I spoke about in pre-season, and I really regret not going for, because he's just continually so consistent as a talisman for West Ham. And Neto is a player we mention every week, and he's got these 5 assists and a goal. And he's only 5.6. And he's got great fixtures. So, anyway, what do you think of this?
I really like it. It's a very good draft. I think if I was playing a wild card in the attacking spots, I would make sure I've got Salas on Watkins and Haaland, which you've got, and then I'd build around that. Mm-hmm. And so you've done that. I like the Bowen. I think going early on Bowen might work out anyway. Yeah. You know, what have they got? They've got Newcastle, they've got Villa, and then they've got that really good run. So that's a transfer you don't need to worry about. No. He's locked in there. Neto is he's Wolves' talisman, isn't he? He's their best player by far. Yeah. If they score, there's a good chance he's going to be involved. I like that pick. Mm. And you can't get to Trippier with this draft, but he would be the one player, the one premium that I would be most comfortable without going without, I think, out of that group of, say, 4 or 5 players with Son, Salah and Haaland. And so, I think there's loads to like about that.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, this is the only thing about this I don't like is no Trippier. But I've got I've had him for 2 weeks. He's got me 30 points, which I don't know if I don't think I've ever owned a player that's got me 30 points in 2 weeks. And I'm just sort of taking that and run and hope that any of his clean sheet points are covered by Burn. But I'm going to miss out on the assists. I'm going to miss out on his guarantee three bonus as well. But that's sort of, that's going to chip away at my rank, but it's not going to be a deal breaker, I don't think. So for example,
I've got share and that's just because, I couldn't afford Trippier at the time. And so it's just one of those, you're going to lose a few points on it, but if you can make it up in that one or almost £2 million saving now, if you can make it up in another area, then it's not just a straight kind of shootout between those two players.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I think, so if you've had Burn the last 2 weeks whilst Trippier got 30 points, what did Burn get? 12 points? And then...
He scored, didn't he?
He scored, against, So he got, just in one game, I'm seeing, and just sort of adding up. So he got another 6 points. So he got around 18 points.
Yeah.
And it's a big saving. You can invest that money elsewhere. Cher was unlucky to be the only guy that didn't in that Sheffield United guy game score. Mm. But nevertheless, he is there and he's getting the clean sheet points. So nevertheless, there's still 12 points clawed back.
Yeah, got a bit of bonus at the weekend as well.
Yeah.
So, I just think with Newcastle, with the chat, they obviously play PSG this week. That Champions League group is solid. There's some massive games to come. Livramento played very well in the Carabao. So Livramento is probably going to play one of the games in the next six or something like that. I think Trippier will play this weekend against West Ham. Yeah. But if he's in the England squad, which he probably will be, and he gets minutes there as well, there might be a game that he's rested after, and maybe the centre-halves will get that one additional game than Trippier, which might help claw it back a little bit. So.
Yeah, definitely. And with this sort of setup, this sort of draft here, because of the price range, Bowen may go up in price tonight. I've already made a bit of profit on Trippier, but he would cost me more to get back in. So one of them has got to... I haven't got Bowen in my current squad at the moment because I'm playing the prices, but I might need to. And I can't think of anyone else I can jettison who I'm thinking of getting rid of. I think I want to keep most players. So obviously, you know, Haaland would cost me more to get back in, for example. I wish Haaland hadn't gone up in price because Haaland would be easy you could just chase the prices and then get the team you want there. But Haaland would cost 0.1 more to get back in now. I might have to pull the trigger on this particular draft tonight.
You could potentially drop Anderson down to... There are Palace defenders there who are 4.5, so that could be a way of saving 0.2. But Anderson at the same time has looked very good so far.
Yeah.
So I can see why he's in.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, and also Anthony's just great to have on the bench. He's first sub because you might get a clean sheet, you might get a goal. That's the sort of player. So when they've got good fixtures, you can play. You can even play 4-4-2 with this as well. So you could drop, say, a Neto or whoever. You can move to a 4-4-2. So that's why I quite like this. More flexible.
I like it.
Let's have a look at one with Trippier. So this is a draft here. This enables me to have pretty much that setup, plus with Trippier, but there's a rub. And that rub is the bench is gone. Yeah. So I've got a doggy, Trippier, Cash. I would have to play every week because I've got Kabore and Taylor for 3.9 at Burnley on the bench. So you've still got 3-5-2, but you're down to the bare bones. You've got no wiggle room there. You can't think, with Anderson, you can get, I can move him down to a 4 million and I can get 0.7 should I need it. There's no wiggle room here. Also, Bowen's gone. I've got Ward-Prowse. That's not as bad because Ward-Prowse is the guy that's going to assist, you would think. So Ward-Prowse is still a good option. And Neto is good value there. I've seen Anthony Gordon in a lot of teams. Obviously, he is suspended for the next game, but he is good long term. So that's why Neto's sort of Anthony Gordon. I want that price point. I think the 5.5-ish mids are emerging and I think there's enough of them to get that price point in. And up front, the same Archer, Watkins, Haaland. So this draft has Turner, Areola, same. Cash, a doggy, same. Trippier's in. And then Kabore and Taylor are the problems on the bench. Then you've got Ward-Prowse instead of Bowen. Salah, Madison, Son, Neto, that's all the same. Front, all the same. Archer, back up. Watkins and Haaland up front. I personally don't like this as much, but it is an option. I don't know what you think about this one.
I don't hate it, but I do worry about that bench depth little bit with Cabour, Taylor and Archer on there. I just think because you have got players who are in Europe, Villa, for instance, you've got cash in your Watkins. And as the group develops and the potentially becomes these kind of more must-win games, I would feel more comfortable with maybe one additional, like a 4.5 instead of Taylor, for instance, something like that. A good sub, because Archer's fine, but realistically, he's not going to score that many points because Sheffield United don't score enough goals. So, yeah, I think if it was a shootout between that first and that second draft, I think I would say, well, let's drop down from Trippier and just beef that squad up a little bit, I think.
Yeah, that's my thinking as well. Mm. There is another option to keep Trippier, and that is to go without Watkins. And that's not something I particularly want to do, because I could then get Diaby in midfield. Yeah. I don't want to triple up on many teams. I have got a triple up on Spurs, but I feel the way they attack. With Villa, I don't particularly want to triple up.
Yeah, I get that.
I like them. I think they're worth investment. They've got the form and the fixtures. But it would be, for me, one of Watkins and Diaby. So another version of this sort of setup would have Diaby instead of Neto, perhaps, and Watkins down to Alvarez. So that would... But I don't like City's fixtures going forward. And whilst I do like Alvarez a lot, I think I prefer Watkins as a striker, because he's the goal scorer and he's an assister. They're both good options. So I wouldn't turn my nose up at someone who had Alvarez and Haaland up front and then use that money to invest in perhaps Diaby. So I think that's...
Alvarez is obviously, when he's playing at City, it doesn't bother me so much about the fixtures because he's playing and that's all we want in our City players. They will score plenty of goals. And it would maybe make me consider going to a 3-4-3 maybe with Haaland, Watkins and Alvarez as well. But I think it's fine just going with Haaland. I mean, what are the fixtures? It's got Arsenal, Brighton and Man United next for City. So if there's a time to just go in with Haaland, it's probably now.
Yeah, I think so as well. And also, I am looking at Brighton in terms of from game week 10. Estupinan might be the one I go for example, with the other setup here, with the other wild card. The one I'm probably going to go for, the likes of Anderson. I've got much more scope there to move up to a Stupinan. And I can also borrow some money. So say I've got two transfers, I can borrow some money from Anderson, move him down. Yep. But there's very little wiggle room here. And I don't like that because this wildcard is for 20 weeks. So I'm really not thinking about next week. I'm thinking about 20 weeks in terms of who will I want to get to in the next few weeks. Then after that, so I've got to think about price points. Just before we move on to your team, I'm just going to put another draft up, just a final one, because I've seen some people thinking of a 4-4-2. This is a solution to getting Watkins, Trippier, Son, Haaland and Salah, and a 4-4-2, some people might want this. I personally don't like this. I'm currently on this because I'm chasing price rises at the moment, but I don't like it. So I've got with this one, I've got Turner and Areola once again in goal, Doggy, Cash, Anderson and Trippier. So really good back four, especially for this week. Then I've got Madison, Neto, Son and Salah up front, Watkins and Haaland. And I've been able to afford that by on the bench. I've still got Archer, got Burn. So Burn can come in, so I could go double Newcastle defence instead of Anderson. So that works out. And Chuka Whitemaker from Chelsea is 4.3. And he is coming back. He's, I think he's sort of on the edge of coming back to full training. So he could be an option there. I don't like this. I feel vulnerable with this. I feel like I'm going into battle with no swords or shields, just me.
Yeah, I think you want an extra attacker in there, don't you? There's so many good midfield options. Yeah. And again, if you wanted Alvarez as well, I think there's just, I don't know if now is the time to go for a back four system. Yeah. Definitely prefer that. I think draft one out of those three options. That would be my favoured one at the moment.
Yeah, and Nick in the live chat has pointed out that he's not a fan of no Arsenal, so double negative there. He is a fan of Arsenal on wild cards.
Yeah, I get that.
2 weeks ahead of a home game versus Sheffield United. But yeah, so I'm okay going without Arsenal for 2 weeks. But yeah, I agree. Game week 10 against Sheffield United, I definitely want some Arsenal. That's why one of my Spurs guys will go for Saka. So that's something else. If you're wildcarding or even just using transfers and you don't have Saka or an Arsenal midfielder, think about who you've got. Think about who you might want to ditch in game week 10. I'm just going to quickly look at the fixtures to remind myself. Game week 10. Yeah, it's Crystal Palace away for Tottenham. So it's not the greatest of fixtures. And that Son could be expendable for me for Saka. I prefer to Saka that week. Against Sheffield United. That could be the move to make there.
Yeah.
Right, we'll put your team up now. All those in the live chat, do ask us some questions. We'll come to those after Tom's taken us through his team and his transfer moves. Put those questions there. Put a question mark on them as well so I can clearly see that they're questions and we'll come to them. So, Tom, put your team up on the screen. Do you want to describe who you've got? Who are you captaining? Oh, by the way, I'm going to captain Son. I should have mentioned.
Okay.
I think I might have had the captaincy on Haaland there, but Son is the one I favour. Your team, who have you got? Who are you captaining? What are your moves?
Yeah, so I've got Onana in goal. Don't feel great about that, but you're going to save a goalkeeper transfer until your wild card, aren't you? So I've got him for now. Got three at the back and feel pretty good about the defence this week. Got Tarkowski, he plays Bournemouth at home, Gehi at home against Forest and Adogie at Luton. So I think this week, given that Man City are up against Arsenal, Brighton are up against Liverpool, this feels like a decent defence to go in, I think, with this week, covering off the defences you want to own. So I'm fine with that. Midfield, there's a couple of issues. We've got Sterling at Burnley. We've got Fernandes and Rashford at home against Brentford. We've got Mbeumo against United and then Son against Luton, who's my captain. Mm-hmm. Double City attack for the Arsenal match, Alvarez and Haaland. And then I've got a bench of Areola, Shah, feels like a good first sub, Archer and then Saliba. So I've got one free transfer, but I've got 2.1 million in the bank.
Wow.
So it actually feels quite straightforward what to do this week. I think it's either Sterling or Mbeumo out for Madison.
Oh, you can afford that straight off. Yeah.
So I just think it's quite rare I sit here and I know what I'm going to do, but it just feels pretty straightforward this week, like I say. And again, we're relying on United to turn a corner and I need something from Fernandes and Rashford because when they're not performing, I'm really struggling to make up ground in the ranks because you've got so much money tied up in those two players. So just got to hope that they can do something against Brentford. I think I'll probably transfer out Sterling at the moment unless we get assurances that he will start in that match at Burnley. That's where I'm at for now and probably looking at a wild card in game week 10, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good move. Not seeing Madison there against Luton with Son as your captain as well. That could be some really good returns. And yeah, Sterling, all those issues we flagged up, minutes, form, fixture turn, Brentford, same thing from Bomo, the form, Brentford as well. I mean, I don't know whether it's Rico Henry, this absence has done it, but they're just not the same.
Yeah, I think it's a few. I think Ben Mee's out as well. Yeah. I think they've changed their goalkeeper. Ray has gone. Flecken's struggling, isn't he? Even Tony's banned. There's been a collection of issues, and it is impacting them, isn't it?
Yeah.
I suppose for Sterling, if I did keep him this week, I'd want to sell him the week after anyway when Chelsea play Arsenal. And Bomo at least has got Burnley the week after.
Yeah.
So even if he does go to, he's cheaper as well, even if he does go to Old Trafford and blank, that hopefully means good news for Onana. And then at least I've got him for that Burnley fixture and then maybe pull the trigger on the wild card after that.
Okay.
So, and Alvarez and Haaland at Arsenal, the double City attack, maybe this isn't a great week for it, but it wouldn't surprise. Alvarez is playing brilliant at the moment, isn't he? It wouldn't surprise me if he gets something in that fixture. So,
no, that's it. I mean, you look at all the players there and you think, would you be surprised if they got returns to Son, Alvarez, Haaland? You wouldn't be surprised.
No.
Fernandes, I actually wouldn't be surprised if Fernandes gets a return in this game.
Mm.
But Rashford and Bomo and Sterling are the ones where I would raise my eyebrows and go, oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll take out one of those certainly this week. Yeah. And then I might have to react if United underwhelm again. That could be my...
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to Sheffield United, but if they underwhelm again, am I even going to want double midfield for the Sheffield United away game? I mean, surely there comes a point when you have to move the players on. That might be a transfer for game week 9.
And just, I mean, also some will be wildcarding then, you know, traditionally a good time during the international break. I'm sort of glad I've done it before because it's quite stressful doing a wildcard. When you try playing the prizes, having it for 1 week is bad enough. 2 weeks is quite a long time. But you might, one thing I have found is the price changes. So already I've gone up about 500,000. And I've got rid of players that have cost me 4.4, I think. You know, those changes are quite rapid now. I think I'm expecting them to ease off, but they're going to become rapid again beginning of
a concern because I think you build your perfect wildcard team now and you think, well, that isn't going to be affordable probably in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, maybe it will force my hand in the international break. I don't think I'm going to play it this week because I've got the money for Madison. My team feels okay for this week, I think. I'm certainly not this week, game week 9 or 10 probably.
Okay, we'll come to some questions in the live chat. Clemens, it's not really a question, really, just your team. He says he would prefer to play Archer against Fulham over Mbeumo. And I actually agree with him there. I think I would, in your situation, I'd get rid of Sterling for Madison, get rid of Mbeumo on the bench, first sub, and then you've got Archer.
Fulham, I mean, hadn't been doing too bad, but they did look open last night against Chelsea. Sheffield United don't look great either, and Man United don't look great. Mbeumo's in for now. But I'll give that some thought, absolutely. I think penalties always if I'm unsure, I tend to start the penalty taker. But I get why somebody would consider that. Might be something that I look at.
Okay, we'll come to some questions in the live chat. So Rahul asked me as a Brighton fan, but you can probably answer this as well, Tom, about Estupinan. After being subbed off in the break in game week 7, do you think Estupinan will continue starting as left back, or is he now a rotation risk, especially with Lamptey getting back to fitness and getting more game time nowadays? Basically, with Brighton, everyone is a rotation risk, even their goalkeepers, except Pascal Gross. If Pascal Gross is fit, De Zerbi likes to play him all the time. Depends where he can play anywhere, but Pascal Gross, I think, is probably the only safe player. Even Matoma can't start, but the thing with a player like Matoma is he could get you returns. But Estupinan, especially after international break, we've got Europe as well, and the minutes will be managed. Estupinan is like Chilwell, like Sterling. Has gone from being like a mainstay in so many early wildcard teams to being surplus to requirements. So I keep an open mind about getting Estupinan, but I don't think he's essential. So I hope that helps, Rahul. But Brighton, as an FPL asset, maybe a bit of an avoid for a little while. Moving down, Joshua Tan, Ward-Prowse or Bowen? So who to get? Obviously Bowen's more expensive and Ward-Prowse can afford other things in your team. If you were wildcarding now, Tom, who would you go for out of those two?
Yeah, I'll go for Bowen. I think he's got more goal threat.
Yeah.
And I prefer that in my midfielders given the weighting towards points towards goals. I think he's consistent. The only thing which might impact that is if Ward-Prowse stepped up and took a penalty. Which I don't know if he will do. I think it's probably Benrahma there and Paqueta's taken a few as well. But if it did happen, then that would obviously shift things towards Ward-Prowse, I think. But for now, given the information that we know, Bowen's just, 2 years ago, he was amazing, wasn't he? He got loads of attacking returns. Last year, he had a bit of a drop-off. But West Ham, they feel like they can handle Europe now. They're more used to these Thursday night, Sunday turnarounds. And, Bowen, I think, great differential because he's still not owned by many people at all. So really nice pick.
Okay. Oh, this is relevant for you, actually, Tom, because you're thinking of game week 10 wildcard. So is Sokhan. Best differential pump for a wildcard if you're wildcard in game week 10. So a differential pump. So that's basically game week 9 differential that you possibly don't want to keep because you can wildcard afterwards. So he's mentioned some names here, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Darwin Nunez, Isak or Bowen. I would go for someone else because it's a play you possibly want to remove as well.
Yeah, so game week 9. You want to play the fixtures. Yeah.
Game week 9, Iwonyi and Nottingham Forest plays Luton. So I think Iwonyi would be a player I would definitely look at for 1 week punt. Wolves play Bournemouth. There could be some goals in that. Solanke, Neto, perhaps. And Brentford played Burnley, but they've got a form issue there with Brentford, so people might not go there. But yeah, I mean, Tottenham play Fulham that week, and Liverpool have Everton. So there's plenty of one-week punts you can go for, and plenty of players you might not want to keep. So yeah, lots of options there. I don't know.
Yeah, I might be a bit hesitant on Darwin because whilst he plays, we're pretty sure he'll play this weekend. It's then that international break and it's that long haul flight back before. And I think I'm right in saying the Merseyside derby is the 12:30 Saturday kickoff when we get back. So I'd be just be prepared that he might be benched in that one. He could still do well against Brighton, of course. But in terms of other punts, I'm just kind of having... Spurs have got the best next two fixtures, haven't they, with Luton and Fulham. Yeah. Could you go for a Kulusevski or a Richarlison or something like that? It's
exactly the player we mentioned. Not. Game week 9, you said Kulusevski, good punt before wild card. Or
I haven't got Maddison, and I'm just thinking, well, I think Maddison is the player I want, but could you go for a Kulusevski and just hope that... in the next game week or so, then you know, he outscores him and you take... Because nobody else is going to have him. You know, he's going to be an Uber differential.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I think Spurs are probably the team in terms of they've got those two fixtures, which are really good fixtures. I do quite like Solanke as well, going to Everton and Wolves at home. You mentioned them, Joe.
Yeah.
Villa, obviously, good couple of fixtures. Maybe I don't expect us to score like we did against Brighton, but they're not really differentials, Watkins and Diaby, are they now? Because loads of people have got them. But yeah, that's Neto, yeah. Villa and Bournemouth next. Okay. That's about all I can see for now.
Alan Zared asked who to swap for Botman. So he's got Botman in the moment. So essentially this is what 4.5, 4.7 ish defender to go for. I would, depending on how long you want them. I would probably say somewhat like perhaps a Crystal Palace defender, Anson Gahey, someone who can play. We've got a good fixture this week. So Crystal Palace, I've got Nottingham Forest at home this week, which is a good fixture. I've had Tim Ream in my draft occasionally. He's nailed on at Fulham. He's the captain, and he's quite good for bonus. And yes, they conceded yesterday, but Fulham have Sheffield United at home, which is about as good as you can get from a defensive point of view. So I don't mind that, but I wouldn't want to keep Tim Ream for a long time. But I think for this week, he's the best option. But there's some
I think Leno obviously this week as well, being a goal. You know, this is a good fixture for Fulham. Yeah. I think obviously if you don't own Odogie or Porro, that would be the one player to go for if you're selling Botman and you can get in and around that price.
Yeah, yeah.
Cash is obviously good. He is a bit more withdrawn than Luca Dean on the left, but he's still getting forward. So, obviously Villa, obviously now you can play your Villa defender for 5 weeks in a row, I think, now without having to take them out at all. But yeah, just get your other four defenders, just plot out the next six game weeks, work out who you can play where, and then work out the gaps and then go and find a defender that slots into those gaps. That's what I do each week. And that will kind of pretty much point you towards who you've got to go and get, I think. So,
Philip Appleby, West Down Trading, great name, is also basically asking which best goalkeeping options, really. He's looking to replace his Luton goalkeeper. Martinez, he's thinking. Raya or boring old Areola. So I've gone for Areola and Turner, just they're cheap, but I think Areola's great and Turner occasionally. Turner consistently might lose his place. Every week he might lose his place. This could be the week he does. But nevertheless, I'll just play Areola all the time. Yeah, sometimes the boring picks are the best. Areola is great value and plays for a good team. But yeah, Raya intrigues me, but I would still worry all the time that Ramsdale might come in. I think Raya's number one now.
Yeah, you would need somebody like probably Areola as a backup, wouldn't you? Somebody who you think's going to play all the time. But yeah, I really like the Raya pick, because the thing is with this wild card is, yeah, you look at Arsenal's next four fixtures and there's teams with better fixtures, but this goalkeeper is probably going to last you, like you said earlier, Joe, up until your next wild card, because it's very rare that we make goalkeeper transfers. So I really like getting in Raya, and he might get the odd benching, but generally I think he adds so much more to Arsenal's game, doesn't he, when you see him playing and his passing ability, that he's going to play most of the time, I'm sure.
Okay. Let's looking at the questions here. Sankalp asks, is Watkins really essential when you can also have Diaby and Cash as a Villa double up? I think we've spoken about it before. Yeah, I think if I didn't go for Watkins, I would want to make sure I had Diaby and Cash.
Yeah, he's not essential. I mean, this is Watkins. We know what we're going to get with Watkins. He'll tick along. Don't be expecting these 23-point hauls again. He will tick along and he will score he will score pretty well, I think, reasonably. But it's certainly not essential. No way.
No, I think, I mean, in a version of my wildcard draft, I've got Alvarez instead of Watkins and Diaby in there. But, I mean, I do like Watkins. He's exactly my kind of player. I don't mind him getting 5 points every week and occasionally getting, you know, more. He's a striker, so if he scores, which he is, he's going to get bonus as well. I like him. And also, I like, he seems to be playing not rotated so much. So he's coming off at 75, 80 minutes for Duran.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see what we do with the Europa as it gets Europa Conference League, as we get further into the group stages and there's more riding on it. You know, we've got to win this week. He still might start Duran, but then that experiment didn't go very well in the Carabao Cup when we rotated. So it wouldn't surprise me if Watkins started this week, and therefore his minutes might be managed in the Wolves game. But it kind of depends on the scoreline as well. If it's if it's 1-1, I doubt he's going to be taken off.
Williams Tropical Farm has said, hello everyone, I went a little mental at lunch today and did his wild card. That's an eventful lunch there. Luke Smith, is Joe missing the Lord of Leicester this year? Who's talking about?
Dewsbury Hall.
Oh, Dewsbury Hall, of course.
Is that what he's talking about?
That's what he's talking about. Of course. Of course, yes, I am. Every year I miss any year where he's not there, because I can't put that picture of me in a top hat on Twitter. I miss all of those Leicester players going Chowdhury deep as well on your bench.
Hopefully they'll be back.
Great. Lots of cult heroes there. Let's have a look here. Getting towards the end of the questions. How much does... Super Tiger asks, how much does effective ownership come into your thinking when picking a wild card? Well, for me, actually, it hasn't at all. I don't think I've actually looked at... I mean, I know that Watkins is fifth owned or so. I know that Haaland's really well owned and Salah's in the third of teams, that kind of thing. But it hasn't really come into my thinking on picking the players. I'm looking at form and fixtures, really, because this is a chance to go against EO in terms of get the players that you think are going to get points coming up rather than those that already got points. Because if I was... you're interested in EO, you'd get Mbomo and Manchester United or Chelsea, you know, Onana, still very well owned. A little bit, but not heavily. It's got to be former fixtures are the main ones.
Right? Yeah, I wouldn't even really consider it, to be honest. Just pick the players that you think are going to do best.
Just going down here to see if we've got any more questions. I think that's it now. I think we've got all the questions there. I think it's more the live chat's just now just chatting amongst themselves about various players they like there. So I hope we've given you a lot to think about. Some of those differentials on our goals and system at the table, all from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Do have a look at that. Do become a member there because you get access to all those tables and you can make your own as well. Do remember to like this podcast or video if you've enjoyed it, and just like it anyway. And also do remember to subscribe if you're not subscribed already, and tell your friends to get all our top content each week. Lots of videos there. So yeah, hope my wild card has given some people some thoughts. I know I've been looking at other people's wild cards on various contents and Twitter and things, and there's always something that I take away from it. Might not totally alter it, but there'll be certain players maybe I thought, oh, I hadn't considered them. And I've certainly thought that way myself about West Ham and Villa players, for example, and Wolves players who we talk about every week. So good luck everyone for your game week. Tom, good luck with your game week. And Manchester's key to you this week with your Manchester City and United lads. Could go either way.
It hasn't gone great recently, but let's see how it goes. It's another game week.
Excellent. So we'll see you next week, and we'll find out how all went, and I'll find out how my wild card went. I might not talk about it that much if it didn't go very well. And we'll talk about the goals and assists imminent table more. But thanks a lot for your time. Thanks for watching, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Cheers. See ya.
Thanks, Joe.